know I stayed in, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is the rock sound.
Throw me in the battlefield. Gun up on my shoulder, which one I'ma kill? I swear this look familiar, boy, I know the strip. I been riding with that type of boy, I know the deal. They tryna kill, yeah, I'm sticking to the G-code. If they ever catch me lacking, I deserve to go. Tell my mama that I love her, Lord, and bless her soul. Tell my daddy I'm a G and I ain't dying, I hope. They gotta go, make sure you get them. Any nigga go against the fan, we ride on. Top of grab a mash and go and slide on. See his death before the sun, the bar under that. Under and it. Put his head up on the wall, cause he ain't coming back.
Yeah. Rules of the family, we never fought and we ain't tripping over hoes, over hoes. Get your money when they see you getting paper, best believe these hoes gone.
Yeah.
Rules of the family, them niggas got a problem, then you know it's free smoke.
All right, WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean right back in the building. And that song right there is called Family Rules, and that's by Chucky Trill. And yeah, that song is kind of aggressive, but you know what I mean? I fuck with it. Kind of a dramatic way to start the podcast, but you know, if people haven't noticed, I like to use certain themes and shit in terms of the songs I play, either by the name or the title or the content within the song, or sometimes both. It usually plays into the direction of the podcast in terms of what I'm talking about and things that's going on today. But yeah, man, hope niggas catch the science. But right off the bat, I guess I gotta get into this Joshua Brown shit. I kinda got into that with my last episode about snitching and everything, and that was kinda my point. For instance, Joshua Brown, a civilian, and in the sense of what happened, he was testifying in a situation that had nothing to do with him, aka snitching or telling. Which was my whole point last episode, that snitching is snitching no matter what. He lost his life behind something that had nothing to do with him. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did the right thing. And he paid the ultimate price for that, unfortunately. Which kind of pisses me off because these motherfuckers, I believe it's Botham Jean, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. This motherfucker's family is kissing and hugging the motherfucking person that murdered their family member. Meanwhile, you have a man, Joshua Brown, who stood up for your family and told it his story exactly how he saw it and what happened in defense of your loved one. And you go and negate all that shit and go kiss and hug this motherfucker. Like, what the fuck? This man essentially lost his life for nothing. Because you apparently do not give a fuck about your loved one or the person who murdered your loved one. You don't give a fuck at all. You already forgiven this motherfucker before the man's body's cold and shit. You know, already kissing and hugging with the girl in. Giving her French braids and all type of shit. Probably gave her like a little gift basket, all type of shit. Like, what kind of weirdo shit is this, man? I really don't know. You kill somebody I know, don't expect a hug. That's all I tell you. That's all I say. Like, I don't understand this weirdo shit going on right now. But anyway, back to the point about him testifying and all that shit. That shit is still snitching. That shit still comes with consequences. And yes, I do believe the fucking Dallas Police Department killed this man. Allegedly. I feel that way, definitely. They trying to disguise it as a drug deal and all this shit. I don't give a fuck if you have no street smarts at all. You are not about to do a major drug deal after you were just on fucking TV in a major fucking case against the fucking Dallas Department of the Police. You're not gonna fucking do that. I find that fucking impossible. I find that impossible to fucking believe. Now, don't get it fucked up. There are a lot of idiots out here in the world. But he seemed like a good-hearted dude, at least enough to stand up for his neighbor and fellow black man. He did what's right. I salute him, stand behind him 100%, and I hope something comes better of this for him and his family, for standing up to some shit that had nothing to do with him. Integrity, he did the real shit, he did the right thing. I'm proud of him, and RIP to that man, unfortunately. It's fucked up, it's real fucked up. That shit really hurt, man. That shit really pissed me off, especially the family's behavior of the original murder within Botham Jean, and the way they handled that shit, the way the judge handled it, and all that type of shit. It's just a very messy situation, a very obvious situation, a very disgusting situation, a very disturbing situation. All that shit, man, all that shit. It's to the point now where it goes back to trolling. I mean, the police department and all that shit are basically trolling people because they know good and goddamn well nobody believes that fucking story that came up with the whole drug deal and all that shit. And if you do believe that, you need to kill yourself. But it goes back to that trolling shit. There's no way that anybody could fucking believe that whole ass shit. that they trying to fucking persuade the people of that this is how exactly how this shit went down. This man got shot in the mouth after a major trial, and they were about to have another investigation, another trial against the police force. I forgot exactly what the case was, but I believe it was a civil case against the police force involving that murder from Botham. Now there are two murdered people, and he did already move and everything as well. I believe he moved 6 miles away from where Botham got murdered, from where he originally lived. And you know the police department has the gate codes and all that shit. So, I mean, it's looking like they did it, allegedly. And they're obviously playing with people's mental space, because once again, there's no way they could even think that anybody would believe that shit. There's just zero way. But definitely much love and respect to Joshua Brown. Appreciate your contributions to life. Appreciate you standing up for what you believe in, knowing that it could come to this. And how are you protecting fucking Tekashi, but you're not protecting him in a major case, but you protecting a known criminal and pedophile and shit? Like, Tekashi had pedophile cases and all type of shit on him, but instead you let this man walk free with no security and shit, nobody watching over him, because he's going against the police department. And I've seen how the police department moved firsthand, because I told y'all in a previous episode about how somebody who lived down the street from me murdered a police officer. And these police officers wreaked havoc on our neighborhood for damn near a month straight. They were harassing people. They were pulling old people out of cars. They harassed me. They pulled me over, pulled me out the car, tried to search my car, all type of shit. I done seen this shit firsthand, so I know what's really going on. You can't just say no whole ass shit to me and think I'm supposed to believe this shit. Hell no, fuck no. I've seen this shit. This is real life experience type shit. This ain't no fucking guesstimation type shit at all. But once again, I don't want to just dwell on this shit and start the podcast on this, but you know, real shit is real shit. And it fits perfect, because I was just talking about this shit last episode that I did, about the whole snitching shit and how it comes with grave consequences. So you can't dice this snitching shit up. Snitching is snitching. Telling is telling. You can't just fucking dice this shit up. It comes with real consequences. You have to be careful. You have to know exactly what you're doing. When you get to talking about certain things, you have to be prepared for this type of shit. And really, he shouldn't have been living in no apartment or something. He should have been living with somebody. Somebody should have been watching over him. While he's asleep, somebody else should be up at all times. And while they're asleep, he should be up at all times. There's no way I would be. I don't know his living situation, but I know he had a new apartment somewhere. I don't know who he was living with or that type of shit. But either way, there should have been more security around this man, whether given to him from the government or his people should have been around him. There's no way I would have let my people just sit there by themselves, knowing they're a major target. But people would know that you're a major target and want to stay away from you. But in this case, he was a good person and he did the right thing. So people should have rallied behind him and should have made sure he was good. Now, I could see if you're a major target and you did some circus shit like Tekashi, I would get away from Tekashi too. But Joshua Brown, no, you got to rally around him. You got to protect him. But Tekashi, no, fuck him. That's the person you run away from. But you don't run away from Joshua Brown. But I think that's all I say about that matter, man. That shit is just ridiculous to me. And I want to get to this other situation I was thinking about. One of my last couple episodes, Well asked me from No Boundaries Podcast. He asked me, am I a gambling person? Now, my entire life, I've always said that I'm not a gambling person. I don't fuck with that gambling shit. That's sucker shit. That's goofy shit and all that. But in reality, actually, yes, I am. I am a gambling person. I gamble on myself. I bet on myself. I'm a high stakes gambler when it comes to me. I bet the whole house on me. Now, I don't gamble in the sense of gambling on other niggas and shit. You never in life gonna catch me gambling on another motherfucker's actions and behavior and beliefs and all that shit. Never. Fuck no. But me, I bet on me all day. I spend my last dollar knowing that I'll be able to get it back somehow, some way. Now, I may not know when it's coming back or how it's coming back, but I know that shit's coming back. So yes, I am a gambler. I bet on myself, definitely. I'm not betting on you niggas, but I bet on me, absolutely. And I don't expect anybody else to bet on me either. But going back to this trolling shit, I'm a big fan of battle rap. I don't know if I ever said that on the podcast. I believe I hinted at it a couple times before, but not into detail or anything. But anyway, there was a major battle event that just went down on the URL, the Ultimate Rap Battle League. And there was a battle with Cassidy, the industry rapper Cassidy, who used to be with Swiss Beats. He battled a guy named Arsenal, and that shit was horrific. These leagues really have to have more integrity. Stop bringing these motherfuckers in, knowing these motherfuckers not qualified to battle rap. Cassidy is an old style battle rapper. His style is not up to date. he's not on the level of these new style battle rappers where they fucking prepare for months at a time and tailor make their raps completely for their opponent. It's not some fucking random gibberish that you didn't freestyle in a mixtape from years ago type shit. This is some shit you handcrafted about this one person. It only applies to this person. He not on that type of shit. He on some super duper 2002 outdated shit. But they keep booking him and he keep running off with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's not producing on the actual performance side of the game. Now he'll sell the fight in terms of the face-offs and shit. Like battle rap now these days, I don't know if people understand this, but these battles and shit have face-offs and everything. Kind of like a boxing event. How they'll do like a little face-off like Mayweather and fucking whoever else he's fighting and all this type of shit. How they'll have a little fucking back and forth before the fight and all that shit. They do the same thing in battle rap now. And he'll sound amazing during that time. He's talking the most shit. He's doing all this shit. But he's not delivering on the actual performance side. And it's a fucking waste of a watch. I definitely didn't watch that shit. But I know he got his ass killed. But it's just fucking stupid. Like, stop booking these people. You gotta have integrity. Yes, there's a high dollar amount. You're gonna sell a lot of pay-per-views in that time. But you lose people like me because there's no way I'm gonna buy that shit or watch that shit, even illegally. Because I'm not going to waste my time looking for fucking bootleg links and all this shit for some shit that I know is going to be trash from the jump. It's a fucking waste of time. Like, I know that shit was atrocious because his last battle was atrocious. He battled somebody named Goods and that shit was the opposite of good. That shit was super garbage. And I don't know. I've been to events and shit live. I've seen this shit live. It's some cold shit. But these events be fucking janky and shit. You be standing up for fucking 14 hours at a time type shit. It's some real goofball shit. It's like, my nigga, you need chairs and shit, my nigga. Like, this shit is nuts. This shit makes zero fucking sense. Where's my chair at, my nigga? I need a chair. I need a waitress. I need all type of shit. So needless to say, I haven't been back to a battle rap event since I went to the first time. My first time watch was my last time watch live. I'll probably never do that shit again. Again, unless I'm sitting down. But let me see, what else did I want to get into? Oh yeah, it seems to be like a weekly subject for me, like mental health and therapy and all this type of shit. Another reason why I'm not big on therapy and shit is because a lot of people seem to be using therapy like college. Like they'll use college as an excuse as to why they're not where they want to be. Well, you know, I'm still in college, so you know, I don't have a job yet. Or I'm still in college, so I don't have the job that I want yet. All this type of shit. It's like, my nigga, you've been in college for 8 years and you still don't have a job, my nigga. What are you doing? Or you still not pursuing your dreams? You've been in college for this long. Just because you in college don't mean you can't fucking work and do this other shit or put creative shit out there. That don't mean shit. Yeah, you in college. So the fuck what? Just like therapy. Yeah, you in therapy, but so the fuck what? Okay, now you've had your flaws and shit presented to you, but you still haven't changed anything. You still the same fucking person. Except you know what's wrong with you. Okay, whoop-de-doo. And the reason why I'm not a big fan of this shit is because, put it like this, this is the perfect example. It's like taking a fish out of a dirty aquarium, cleaning the fish up, rehabilitating the fish, fucking cleaning it from end to end. Each individual scale is fucking dry cleaned and all type of wild shit. You then revamped it. You then gave it a new sense of purpose. You then gave them education. You gave them a diet plan, a meal prep, all this shit. And then you put this fish right back inside the fucking dirty aquarium. What the fuck do you think is going to happen? It's not really the therapy. It's the fucking societal problems that we have. It's society. If society is not changing, you going to therapy don't really mean as much as you may think it does. And as I always say, I'm not discouraging anybody from going to therapy, because you even thinking that you need therapy is a good sign that you're trying to change for the better. You're showing that you're looking outwardly and that you may need help. You may need other people around you, all that type of shit. Those are all good signs. But just to think that therapy alone is going to change your life, you need to fucking relax. Therapy alone is not going to get it. You still got to change fucking life habits and shit. You got to change things within yourself, even if you're going to therapy. Just like the college shit. Okay, yes, you can go to college. You can retain all this information and all this shit. But until you apply the shit, you're just hoarding the knowledge. You're a fucking information hoarder. That's all you're doing. If you're not applying the shit, it don't mean not a goddamn thing. It don't mean nothing. Absolutely zero. Okay, you know you like a information storage. You like fucking bandwidth and shit. That's all you are. You got a fucking cloud service of information. And you ain't doing that a goddamn thing with it. I mean, what's the fucking point? You don't get no props from me. I don't want to know where you work at. I don't want to know what degree you got. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I don't even ask people that type of shit because I really don't give a fuck. But you know, that's me. And that's my little weekly rant on therapy and shit. And like I go back to, like I say, I'm not discouraging anybody or hating on anybody who's ever went under that shit. I'm just saying you have to think past therapy though. You have to put some application in. You have to change your life. Therapy is not changing your life. It's explaining your life. Think about that. God damn it. Also, this podcast shit is pretty interesting, man. Like doing shit by yourself. Having to manifest everything from scratch. Nobody around you type shit. You gotta fully motivate yourself and get out here and do this shit. You know what I mean? It's some real deep type shit. Pause. When you really think about it, you gotta really create all this shit on your own. Shit's annoying sometimes, but you know, it is what it is. The hardest thing about each episode is starting that bitch. You know what I'm saying? You would be sitting there just looking at blank airspace or, you know, a blank canvas. And it's always hard to put that first line on the canvas. You're like, damn, where am I going to put this bitch? Where the fuck am I going to go with it? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? It can damn near paralyze you just starting that bitch. But once you hit that record button or whatever, you know, you got to make some shit happen. You got to think of some shit. You got to be quick. You got to be relentless. But yeah, I go hard for this creative shit. I got some big plans on the way. I can't wait till all this shit comes together. But you know, I got some things cooking up as I always say. Each time I take some downtime or something, or you know, to get things right behind the scenes, other creative shit just jumps off to where that shit just stands out to me. And then I get obsessed with that shit and I gotta fuck with that. It's just a lot of weird shit that be jumping off in my brain. I don't know what the fuck it is, but you know, that shit takes me down a whole bunch of different avenues. But again, it's all about betting on yourself. And when you bet on yourself, you have to understand that you could do anything that you really want to do. You just got to take that shit serious. Put the hours in. Put the concentration in. The consistency, all that shit. See, I'm consistently creative, but I'm not consistently doing the same thing as I should. Like this podcast, I should have this bitch out every week. But I falter every now and then. And I know I be on some bullshit. But sometimes I can't help it. I'm fighting against all the societal shit and all type of shit in my head, and you just battle a whole bunch of bullshit that in reality probably don't even exist to certain extents and shit. But I have a new style of approach that I haven't attacked fully yet that I plan on implementing into the podcast. I want to see how this shit is going to work out, but I got a new strategy. Well, I had it for a while, but I'm thinking about implementing it now to see how that shit works out, but we'll see how it goes. But just understand constantly creating new shit and shit you feel like people need to hear or want to hear. It's not always easy. It's like you're always running in the back of your head what people want to hear or what you feel like you should do and all that type of shit. But really, I just go with my heart. I just say what the fuck that I want to say, really. But you always wonder how people take it or perceive it. Now, none of that stops me. Whether people like it or not, it's not going to stop me from creating the shit that I want to create or anything like that. But you always wonder how people feel about it. Like my last couple episodes or something, I was talking to Will. I said I was compulsive, but I meant obsessive. I obsess over shit. I like shit to be a certain way. My fucking shoelaces got to fit a certain way on my shoes. It got to be tied a certain way. My clothes got to fit a certain way. My fucking spot got to look a certain way. I got to have my fucking pictures hung a certain way. Everything got to be very specific. I'm really on that type of shit. To the point when people see it, they think it's all like perfectly surgically mapped out with a ruler type shit. But really, I just be eyeing shit, man. I don't be measuring and all that shit, man. Fuck all that. I'm always been more of a freestyle type of person. That's my type of shit, definitely. But just know when you jump out there on some independent type shit that, you know, you really gotta wear that shit. You really gotta go hard on it. Nobody else really has any vested interest in making that shit successful for you. You gotta make that shit successful. That's why I also like to surround myself with people who fuck with me and all that type of shit and really show love, you know what I mean? Like when I be on my bullshit, you know, Will and them be on my ass, be like, man, you need to put a fucking episode out. And other people too in my life, they like, man, you out here wilding. What a fucking podcast out, man, nigga. Like where that bitch at, man? You on some real hoe shit right now. Like what the fuck you got going on? So I don't take that shit lightly. I appreciate all the love and respect. I appreciate the motivation. Appreciate the encouragement. Appreciate anybody who listens. Oh, that shit goes a long way with me. And me, I don't have that story of people hating on me in a sense to where people didn't think I would be successful and all this type of shit. Really, it's the opposite way. People had high expectations of me all the time type shit to where it's damn near paralyzing. You know, people already have you on some fucking Obama level type status. And it's like, my nigga, I ain't even
left the ground yet. You already got me in fucking outer space. I ain't even built a spaceship yet, my nigga. Like, what the fuck? So, you know, it's damn near a lot of pressure type shit. But I really don't feel pressure in that sense. The only pressure I feel is, you know, outdoing myself. I don't really feel like I have to meet people's expectations or anything like that. But, you know, all this independent type shit is a, you know, it's a whole different type of ball game. Understanding that, I mean, with the way I think about things and all that shit, you know, it's a lonely, depressing type of lifestyle. Knowing that nobody else around you is on it the way that you on it type shit. Like the whole Joshua Brown shit, that type of shit, you know what I mean? Like, I would have did the exact same thing he did even after knowing what happened to him. I still would play it that way. I'm on that type of shit. But I know a lot of people are not on it like that. So that leaves me on an island. You know what I mean? It's like, how many people can you really talk to in person who really own that type of time? How many people can you really have these type of conversations with? That's why, you know, I had to create this podcast and all that type of shit, because a lot of motherfuckers really ain't on shit. You know what I'm saying? As long as they got new episodes of Love and Hip Hop, or, you know, whatever the fuck it is you into, the new football season, the NBA season and all that type of shit. Niggas want to see what Zion gonna do. And don't get it fucked up. I watch highlights and shit every now and then myself. But, you know what I mean? I'm still on some elevated mindset type shit too. That's like fucking 5% of my life. While it's 95 or 98% of other niggas' lives. That be the sad shit. Like, motherfuckers really just don't be on shit. And expect me to really say what's up to them all day. It's like, my nigga, there's nothing to talk to you about. I'm not really giving it up the way you give it up. You on some different type shit. So what the fuck is you offended about? Why you so surprised I don't talk to you that much? When you ain't really saying shit. Like, can you really be surprised I don't talk to you? So a lot of people be offended and shit that I don't speak to them all that much or whatever. But it's like, goddamn, my nigga, like, again, what the fuck do you want me to say? What are you offering? What are your perspectives on life and shit? When the last time you broke down some real shit? When the last time you got real intricate and really broke shit down on some introspective type shit or whatever? If you can't answer these types of questions, then you know exactly why I haven't really talked to you all that much. It's real live shit going on outside, and motherfuckers mad I ain't playing a video game with them or something, or, you know, some lower level type shit. It's like, my nigga, relax, man. That shit cool too. I fuck with it, but I got other shit on my mind right now. People really don't understand that shit. Also, I wanted to go back to that conversation me and Will was having about living around white people and other stuff like that. In reality, there's really nowhere safe for black people to live. There's no happy medium. There's no successful black neighborhood, really. Because the way the game is set up, when there are a lot of black people live in the same neighborhood, the property value goes down because it's not mainstream accessible to white people. So there's really nowhere safe for us to go. So you're pretty much on one extreme of the spectrum. You're either in the hood or you're in a white neighborhood. There's really nowhere else to be. There's zero places to go. That's the only place you could be. I mean, unless I'm missing some shit. The last time we had some fly shit, that shit then got blew up and burned down and all that type of shit. Like the Black Wall Street type shit. And no, for people listening, there wasn't one Black Wall Street. There were multiple type of situations like that in multiple different states. And all this shit got, you know, dismantled and broken down and burned down and all that type of shit. So you have to think about that as well. There's nowhere for us to go. So it's not just some people running away from the hood type shit. There's really nowhere else to go for black people to be safe. I mean, just look at Joshua Brown. He left a violent situation. He picked up and moved, and they came and got him. They murdered him in his new establishment and sent a message to the world. Shot him in the mouth, let you know you talking too fucking much. Stop running your fucking mouth. This wasn't none of your business. Fuck you. They was on it like that. And I said all that on the episode too, which was crazy. I spoke about that, about how you could be in a white neighborhood, everybody smiling at you and all that type of shit, but then you can come home and have nigger wrote on your fucking door or some shit like that. So, I mean, you never know what's gonna happen, but, you know, it is what it is. But just like that, this has been When We Feel Like It podcast, and I had a great time chopping it up with you boys and girls. WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean, gone.